We love Mike. We love Mike's Beer Bar. Make sure you check that one out. Ben Cherington was the subject of rumors. I'm not going to say the name of the rumor Twitter feed because thought pop up. I think Pony, who is ready to be like a fire hose of takes tomorrow when he comes back because he's been tweeting constantly, has not been able to stay offline. He's just too devoted to the grind. He said, is this for real? So I actually attempted to do, because I knew I would be by myself today, I actually attempted to do a little Mulsey digging. Yes, we can put our nose in there and get dirty once in a while. We can grab our shovel and dig around and plumb for sources and people. The broad consensus, I would say, from the people I've talked to that I got is this. The original tweet from, it was from like MLB chucklehead whatever rumor site of the day. I don't care. They bought a blue check mark for $8 and now they can just spew diarrhea onto the internet and have it get boosted in front of a larger audience, was that Cherington was on the outs today. I have heard nothing to that actual effect, just to be very clear. I've had other people who do not have blue check Twitter accounts designed solely to flood the zone with some of the most inane crap you can possibly imagine try to say things like, hey, Cherington out today. I will not name names. One person who works under this roof, the same roof as us in this building, at a different part of this building for this company, intimated that it would happen today. I've heard nothing of the sort. I have heard, however, that what might be going on here is people are hearing around the league that Ben Cherington is in deep trouble and probably done at the end of the year, and are, instead of reporting that, because that's no fun, just jumping the gun after one of the worst series any of us have ever watched and saying, he's done. Executioner's sword falls tomorrow, meaning today. Not hearing anything to that effect. However, if it happened today, I would laud Bob Nutting and say, not laud him, I would say, Bob, better late than never. And you're not supposed to fire GMs midseason, but my God, just do it and get it over with. I can't tell you how tough it is, I think, for a guy to be in Ben Cherington's position, where I think being the GM of the Pirates, when you take the job, is an inherently sympathetic position to occupy. Hey, you're going to be working with limited resources. Hey, it's an uphill climb. Not only do you have the big pocketed Cubs in your division, but you've got a team like the Brewers that's figured out how to do it pretty consistently on a smaller budget. You've got the Cardinals who are, when you're trying to be complimentary of the Steelers, you'd call them the Steelers of the MLB. They're like the heritage franchise in a middle-sized market. They always do things right. You've got to go around them. You might have to deal with the random good year out of the Reds here and there. It's a sympathetic job. Cannot express how hard it is to step into that position and be as unsympathetic a figure as Ben Cherington is, because it requires you to do two things. And I think these two things, by the way, he's done in buckets, make really bad moves by and large, do a very bad job assembling the roster, and I'm not asking for public figures in the sporting world to every appearance when things aren't going their way, fall on the sword over and over and over again and say, look at me, I'm terrible at my job, you guys are all right. I don't expect that, okay? I'm not an idiot. Some of you might disagree with that, shut up. Bottom line is, what I would like to see and hear is occasionally some passion, occasionally a sense that you understand fan frustrations, and not just you saying, we understand the fans are frustrated, saying, no, I live and die with this crap. I always said, and Pony's always said when he's in here, one thing about Neil Huntington that I will always give him, even if I didn't agree with some of the stuff he did, even if I thought it, by the end his tenure had gone really bad, you get Neil Huntington on the phone, he would spar with you. There was passion there. Like, he gave a crap. Sometimes I wonder the degree to which Ben Cherington, like, truly does give a crap. And I certainly have wondered, because I've been saying this just as loudly, if not more loudly, than anybody else here, why is he continuing to have the reins for this franchise? The trade deadline is in 10 days. The Pirates need to sell off the obvious parts that are on expiring deals. They need to at least explore, because I will remind you, they are 39-61 and far away from where they need to be. They need to explore trading assets for assets, like, I don't know, Mitch Keller for a real bat and maybe something else, if you can get it. They need somebody who's got, I would say, the backing of ownership and the belief that they will be on the job for the foreseeable future doing this. or at the very least somebody who might know, I am the interim person. I am trying to do as much as I can to help this team for the future. And maybe I'll get a real interview at the GM shot out of it, or maybe I'll get a promotion under the next GM or whatever running the show. What they don't need, in my opinion, is what I consider a lame duck running this trade deadline. That is what they've got. They have a lame duck general manager based on what I'm hearing, based on what, and that's more sourced from like around baseball, what the chatter has started to pick up and become. A guy who is likely to lose his job unless a staggering turnaround were to happen, and they are going to tell him, keep doing it. Not only that, but we're not really seriously considering making you stop doing it. That's unacceptable. And it goes back to what has been one of my sort of hobby horse opinions that you've probably heard a lot of, but I'll say it again. The perhaps greatest sin of the owner this year has been his unwillingness to be decisive and to take action against his employees by terminating them who deserve it, when they deserve it. Would have been very cool if the Shelton Charrington thing was a package deal. The Nationals pulled that off. It wasn't. And are the Nats really going to be that hard up for having fired their GM and their manager at the same time? Is it going to be that much worse for them? I doubt it. You could promote somebody on an interim basis and essentially tell them, here's the rules. You can't go rogue. I've got to sign off on certain, like, this guy, this guy, this guy, and this guy. You want to trade them? Figure out what you can get. You want to do anything bigger than that? I need to sign off on the deal. In fact, Bob Nutting probably needs to sign off on every deal they make every year. It's probably how it is for every team. Do that. You don't have to have this particular person continuing to run the show. Not when trades have been a big reason why you're where you are. Bad trades. They've made a lot of them. Ben Charrington's made a lot of them. So I don't think that I'm wrong, that those rumor sites are wrong. I just think they're early. A couple of months early. It feels like you'd have to be having like a psychotic episode, or you'd have to be in like a fever dream to imagine a scenario where this man should stay on the job beyond this year. For me, it's beyond this week. Or beyond the end of this show. And yet here we are, he's going to do all those things as far as I've heard. Ben Charrington keeps his gig. He's not, from what I understand, getting relieved of his duties anytime soon. This is not some imminent thing. So this is me refuting what you might have seen from, you know, MLB ice cream scoops galore, whatever. I don't even know. I already forgot what the name of the account was. I really did. They're a dime a dozen. But I don't think they're wrong so much as I think they are a little bit early. Where does Ben Charrington, by the way? I'm wondering this, Pirates fans. 412-928-9370. That is the fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Where on your list does Ben Charrington slot here as far as your frustrations? I know if you're listening to this show and you are a Pirates fan, I am sure you have plenty of misgivings about the way the owner goes about the business here of running the team. I think we've all talked about that a lot. But are you as sort of gobsmacked as I am that as of right now, he's, unless something radical changes from what I understand the reality to be, are you as stunned as I am that Ben Charrington's going to continue to get to run this team through the end of the season? 412-928-9370. You can also hit us up on Twitter at 937TheFan. That is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. Hell, you can even go into the YouTube comments and wade in there with Johnny the Barber, Sports Vids, Steve J, Jory Rand's Taint, people like that. You can even go in there and watch the show live on YouTube and get in there and mix it up. Get your knuckles greasy with the YouTube commenters. You want to talk about a match made in heaven right here? How about this? Check this out. Join Donnie Football at Dino's on Thursday from 6 to 10 to kick off the start of training camp. Cool off with an ice cold Miller Lite and listen to Donnie's takes on the first day of camp. Oh man, Don, you have truly, you and Dino's, it's like one of those collabos between like apparel companies. You get like the company X company Donnie and Donnie X Dino's is as good as it gets.
Peanut butter and jelly, Mosey.
Are you excited? You got to be pumped.
Absolutely. That is just one of three training camp shows.
Do you still get at all like, wow, I do this kind of stuff for a living, or I've made it kind of feelings when that kind of stuff gets read out there? Like, they are there to see you at Dino's that night. You, not anything else. Like, you are the attraction on Thursday at Dino's.
Yes, the wings are delicious. I mean, if there are any local folks out that way, I mean, I obviously grew up very close to there, like 10 minutes away, as a matter of fact.
Well, you're the hometown boy done good. Yeah, go out there and see Don. Dino's this Thursday, first of three. Are they all out there at Dino's? All three of them?
No. Okay. The 30th, I will be at Sharky's. The 31st at Live Casino.
Oh, man. They got you. They got you just running Westmoreland County. You know that, brother? You are just, you're the man. I don't know what else to say. It's going to be probably what, you and Gorgeous Borges or Joel or Nelly? You could probably get Nelly to give you a line on like training camp on like seven shots.
Oh, well, Nelly and I are together on the night of the Hall of Fame game, so that'll be full of the betting fun, degenerate betting fun.
You've got to get Nelly betting on the Hall of Fame game. You have to, like, tell him, like, for the good of the show, I don't care how little money it is. It could be $5 total. I need, like, at least five individual $1 Hall of Fame game bets from him.
I don't think it'll take much of an arm twist for our boy.
I need some true degenerate behavior from Nelly. It's always funniest coming from him. So we'll talk Ben Cherington here with you guys. But first, I did say you got a four-pack of tickets to the Pony League World Series, Lou Hayes Pony Field, on the line right now. August 8th through the 13th this is running. But you've got to win Pony Trivia, like trivia about Andrew Filippone, who's not working today. So let's try this. We've got Ron in Upper St. Clair. Ron, hello. How are you?
Hey, Mosley, good. How are you?
I'm good. Do you want to try to win some Pony League tickets by playing Pony Trivia?
I'll play some Pony Trivia, but I got a good nugget on Cherington for you.
All right, give me the good nugget on Cherington, and then we will play the trivia.
Well, there was a former GM in Robinson last weekend with Pittsburgh ties looking for a house in Robinson.
How do you feel about this one, Don? Would this be, what, Jim Bowden or somebody like that?
Nope.
Former GM with Pittsburgh ties, Don. Does this feel like my uncle's cousin's brother saw somebody at the airport? We put the picture of the
same guy that sold Aaron Rodgers his house.
Yeah, we put the guy with dreads on there, and he's, you know, everyone says, oh, he's at the airport. No. All right, Ron, would you like to try to win this one?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. Pony went to New Hartford High School in, I would call it Utica, New York, let's say. Okay, I think it's technically the town is New Hartford, New York. So Pony is a graduate of New Hartford High School. What former major league outfielder is arguably the most famous graduate of New Hartford High School?
You got me. No clue.
Stumped. Okay. Do I need to make it easier, Donnie? Do I need to provide any kind of a hint? I want at least one or two other people to try to come up with this one before I
get a hint. Yeah, I think if another one or two people miss it and don't really give any sort of attempt, you could throw out a pretty good hint.
Yeah, I feel like there's a hint that's going to make it a lot easier. Johnny is in Cranberry. Hey, Johnny.
I already know it. I already got it, and I'm driving, so I couldn't look it up, but it's Andy Vincelik, I think.
Well, guess what, pal? You just won yourself four tickets to the Pony League World Series, because that's exactly right. It's Andy Vincelik is the most famous graduate, at least athletically, of New Hartford High School. Although, Donnie, didn't Rob Manfred go there, too? Or did he go to Pony's dad's high school?
I have no idea with him.
I think there's some stories where Pony's dad said Rob Manfred was just a huge herb in high school who liked tennis and didn't even like baseball, which frankly checks out. Johnny, I'll let you get to whatever your actual point was, but stay on the line after you're done. So what do you got for me?
I just, where you're taking him on Cherington, and I texted you guys this. This isn't what I called, but Cherington sold his home to Wickley recently. Since that guy said it, I have to tell you that. As of July 11th, officially, he sold his home. So there's, like you said, it's not wrong. It's just early. But where does he rank? I mean, look, guys, you go back, what, 5-6 years? Again, I'm driving, so I don't have my stat book in front of me. But we're just talking underwhelming after underwhelming trade and player development all the way back to Josh Bell and what we got for him. We're talking about Just giving Shelton an extension, then we're going to fire him. And so where we're at, we once had one of the most heralded farm systems in the league, which we now have one of the most depleted. Clay Holmes, the list goes on and on and on. Everybody thought they had a bad with Neil Huntington. It gets worse. So
Huntington,
thank you for the tickets. Yeah,
stay on the line. I almost hung up on you, which would have been me not paying attention to my own advice. Thanks, Johnny. Good work by him. Of course, the YouTube commenters, the turd sandwiches of the world, they knew that one immediately, that it was Van Slyke. They are true P1s of the show to know that Andy Van and Pony hail from the same high school. The thing about Charrington, at least when you compare him to Neil Huntington, I don't care if it was by hook or crook or whatever, like however it was with good trades working out or free agent signings that were kind of poo-pooed at the time, at like Russell Martin. People thought, I remember DK wrote what an overpay that was when they got him. It turned into a transformative thing. You know, the Burnett trade turns out great. Liriano, they rehab him into a good starter again. I don't care if it was by like the way it was supposed to go. It really wasn't with Huntington. I don't think like his biggest swings panned out the way people thought. He put together a team that won 94, 88, and 98 in three straight years. I don't care how he went about doing it. I don't care what advantages they were trying to leverage within the margins or how much baseball has changed or how much tougher it's gotten. He did a way, way better job than Ben Charrington has done. And that's why it's like, it was always easier for me to give Huntington a pass and to point out the constraints under which he was working because he did do a good job for 3 years. Charrington has earned no such benefit of that doubt, man. Josh in Munhall, before we take a break. Hey, Josh.
Hey, I'm going to put the TV out here.
All right.
What's that?
Yeah, Josh, you're on the air. Yeah, somebody's going to put the TV somewhere or other, but yes, what do you got?
No, I was calling for the tickets.
Oh, okay, sorry. Yep. So he was really clued into what we had going there, Don. You think he would have gotten it?
Oh, I mean, Johnny came in very confident, but I got a feeling that only a few others on the line would have.
Yeah, I don't think he would have been there. He also didn't seem to hear the fact that we had given away the tickets and he was just hanging out on the line anyway. He'll have a chance tomorrow to win 4 tickets to the Pony League World Series. That Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Time for PM Team Weekend in Review in 15 minutes or thereabouts, 20 minutes, we'll say. TJ Watt, Donnie, the disrespect continues unabated for Timothy Watt. They just don't respect him nationally like we do here. It's like an inverse, it's like a reverse Tomlin situation with TJ Watt. Pony just feisty as hell about it on Twitter. I like to imagine him like lecturing Stella going, this is why you can't trust these people's opinions on sports. Because there was one I saw, one he saw. And I want to get into it. It's kind of like a goofy, fun little discussion to have. I was actually, you know what I did before we get to Weekend Review? I watched the show on YouTube this morning, Crowley, with Kabali in there, and participated kind of by texting Crowley things like undercutting his points or like taking things he said and just posting them directly to Twitter. But it got me, like, what I was saying to him got me also thinking about Watt. So I've got a bunch of different like TJ Watt related things that aren't just about, oh, was it a good sign of the contract or not? So we have that coming up for you. I think that's a good sales pitch myself. All right. What did you have for your TGIF last week, Don? What was it? You were going on a little road trip, my
friend. Yeah, that was the trip down to DC. Went to Nats Park on Saturday.
Thoughts?
That was pretty much it. I liked the park.
Did you notice it's weird that it's sunk down into, like, the ground, kind of? Like, did you notice that you can walk surface-level streets
in,
and you're going down
ground
in?
Level, yeah, and it's down in. I feel like
City
feel
Field
like the
is
stadium
like that too.
In Buffalo is like that, too.
The Bills Stadium is dug down in. There's a lot more that are like that. There's just none that are like that here. Pony said City Field in Queens is like that, but Nats Park was the first one I had ever gone to where the surface of the field is so clearly below street level. It was very disorienting for a second.
Yeah, we didn't get to stay for the whole game because I have a niece that is 3 years old, and it also came
no, wait, did you and Sarah just take her
hour
by
no,
yourselves?
It was like a whole
okay, family
deal
affair
here.
Gotcha.
Rode the metro down, and the game was delayed by over an hour for like a very, very, very light rainfall, which was kind of annoying. It went from a 6:40 start time to 7:50 So we didn't get to stay for the entire game, but kind of neat. I mean, just cool to check off another ballpark there. A pretty funny promotion that they had. Nats basketball jersey tops. So I took one of those babies home.
Yeah, I think I saw you wearing that. Yeah. What was it, just like a generic, like, no name on the back?
Yeah, and the number was just 25 for the year.
For the year, that makes sense. Okay. My brother went to school in D.C., so he's almost 5 years older than me, but he went to college in D.C. at a Catholic University of America, of all places. And we would go down there to visit sometimes, and I'll never... You said you rode the Metro, which obviously, like, I've ridden that Metro many a time. And I never forget going down there, probably 16 years old, paying a visit. And one of the stops on the Red Line, I think like one of the furthest stops was Shady Grove, was what it was called. That was the last stop. But the guy doing the voiceover, you know, Red Line, you're on the Red Line, his accent made Shady Grove sound much more like a different word that the FCC does not like us using. And every time I heard it, I was like, how am I the only person hearing it? He's calling it Bleepy Grove here. He ain't calling it Shady Grove. Be like, Red Line, you know, like every time. This is a city of millions of people. And how are nobody else hearing this?
I feel like when you are a regular on those things, you pretty much check out everything
else. Oh, yeah, you check
out.
Yeah, you check out.
You can almost tell who has not been on those a whole lot.
Oh, the people who are like, what do I do? When do I pull my brake from my stop? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time I go to a big city now, I'm like, man, figure it out as fast as possible because you don't want to look like a tourist who doesn't know what the hell they're doing down there.
Yeah, because most people just get on there. They probably have headphones on. They've completely checked out everything else. And
correct.
They just sit right down or they stand.
This is kind of in the pre-wireless headphones era, too, where it's harder to check out a little bit like that. All right. So you enjoyed it, though. Where would you rank Nats Park? You've only been to a handful outside of...
Yeah, I mean, and unfortunately, all of the other ones I've gone to are pretty nice or notable for one reason or another. So, I mean, that one is unfortunately going to take up last out of the... I guess five, or what do we just say, the four outside of PNC Park. But the other ones, like I was saying Friday, Fenway, Progressive, Camden Yards, I feel like would be relatively high on pretty much anybody's list.
Yeah, Nats Park is fine. It's nothing, in my opinion, like nothing special. Certainly not as nice as any of the places you went, although my experience at Fenway, the game was pretty crazy, but I think it was like 97 degrees. The humidity was about 200%.
When was this?
I think I was going
the game that Nomar hit four home runs.
It was the game where he hit like three in a row and the crowd was booing. They beat the Rays like 22-4 and the crowd was booing the Rays pitcher on the third straight at bat because Garcia Parra hit it two in a row. And I don't know if the bases were loaded. They couldn't have been loaded. One of the home runs was a grand slam in my recollection. He went 3-0 the next at bat and everyone was like booing him for the same reason. Like, throw the guy a strike, you wuss. And this is probably why Boston fans have like an inflated opinion of themselves. They started cheering or booing him so loudly, he actually did throw a strike 3-0, and Garcia Parra just destroyed it right out of the park. Like, it was out of a movie. But I think I was like 16 or 17 going into maybe my junior or senior year, and we were trying to look at colleges, I think. And I thought for some reason it would be cool to go to UConn because I like the basketball team.
I mean, they have a ton of schools up there, like just in the city
limits.
Okay,
UConn basically didn't have like a journalism school on their campus. I was like, well, got to cross that one off. They show you like Gamble Pavilion, the big arena. And then I was like, yeah, can't go here. This is in the middle of nowhere. Anyway, my weekend in review. Scottie Scheffler, man, just I said I was going to watch it, just off the charts. Four-time major champion. He's climbing the list. He wins another one. He'll join Rory, Koepka, Seve, Peter Thomson. Probably a lot of you don't know that name. Byron Nelson. I said the 1,197 days thing since he, between first major and fourth, Tiger with the same thing, albeit Tiger was like 21 to age 25 versus 26 to 29 for Scotty. Scotty from 2022 through 2025. This is from Kyle Porter, who writes a golf blog called Normal Sport, which is very good. 81 events for Scotty, 20 wins, 4 majors, 2 players' championships, which those guys think is like a bigger deal almost than the PGA in a sense because it's their thing. 2.8 strokes gained per round over the field on average. So three shots better than the average player, okay? Tiger from 02 to 05, 79 events, 18 wins, four majors, no players, 2.8 strokes gained per round. Now, Tiger the 2 years prior to that was like on another plane.
Yeah, because
existence.
I saw some people say, well, do Tiger cut, from 99 to 02.
Yes, exactly. It's cut. It's not using Tiger's prime. I will say this. It is very fashionable to say when somebody gets on a heater, like Koepka's built for the majors, and when he was winning him, it was like, man, I thought this guy was like the next Tiger. Scotty is now very obviously the best player since Tiger. It's not close. He's also like an elite putter. He's so, quote, I think he's a really thoughtful guy, but he is, one thing he will not be is like great for golf broadly, like Tiger was, where people started to play and merch picked up and prize pools and purses for tournaments went through the roof. Like if you went back and looked at what somebody made for winning like the Masters in 1995, you'd be shocked at how little money it is.
He's not the rock star that
because he doesn't want to be.
Yeah,
he's like, yeah, I mean, my
he's
family.
Just kind of a guy.
He's like, my family's what I like the most and what I get fulfillment from. And yes, I like winning golf tournaments, but it lasts for 2 or 3 minutes and then I'm good. But like he had to like clarify those remarks, and I don't know, man. The other thing is Tiger would have all the flair. He would give the big follow through, and he would do all this. He was a showman for
yep,
sure.
The
at
Sunday
his best.
Red.
All of it. Tiger just knew how to put on a show, and he was very emotional. Scotty, it's like you've played golf, so you know, but like I think it's you have to like kind of commit to playing the sport a lot. He hits so many shots that look on TV like, oh, yeah, he hit it 15 feet away. That's cool. But if you have any sense of like what is going on going into that shot, you're like, geez, this is the best thing I've ever seen.
Scotty's almost like a killer on the course.
He is.
He's just like emotionless.
Oh, he's a robot.
He got
dude.
A little bit frustrated at Oakmont, but everybody did. I mean, Wyndham Clark got banned from the place for beating up a locker.
Two lockers.
But Scotty, it's like very little emotion. It's almost like Heath Miller, like making a big play. He would like make a big putt this weekend. He'd give like one little fist pump. That's about it.
He made like two par putts and a birdie putt, all like 15 footers in a row. That used to be what he sucked at was putting. He switched to like a mallet putter, and he uses this grip called the saw, where his one hand on most of his shorter putts.
Yes, I've noticed that.
That's a lot of guys use that on tour. It's, I mean, I've tried it. It's if you're good with it, you're really good with it. He is like completely, in a way, divorced from the process, from like whether he wins or not. He wants to win, but if this makes sense, he's said before that he's essentially just trying to hit the right shot at every time, and like that's what he's chasing. If you can, anyone that's ever taught golf set will tell you, if you can do that for putts, let alone all your shots, I don't care if it goes in, this is how I want to hit it. And if I hit it and it goes in, great. If I don't, if it doesn't go in, fine. I just want to hit the shot or hit the putt the way I want to hit it. It's like another plane of existence. He's got a chance to win 10 to 12 majors. Like, because here's the, people will say, oh, it's sacrilegious. Don't compare him to Tiger. Tiger won his 14th major, so he's won 15. He won his 14th major when he was almost 33. Summer of 08, he would have turned 33 that December. He's born on December 30th, 75. He beat Rocco at Torrey Pines. He didn't win another major until he was 43 at Augusta in 2019. Mm-hmm. He went a decade without winning jack squat. He was hurt, all the marital stuff. Willing to bet Scottie Scheffler is going to do a lot better from age 33 to 43 than Tiger did. Can't say it for sure. Willing to bet it's going to happen. Willing to bet he's not going 0 for his 30s, basically, on majors.
Yeah, he's a monster.
Now.